You can leave it over if you want. Make any difference. Be at ease.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. This morning we address what we perceive to be a flawed decision by the Board of Immigration Appeals to remove my client, Leonel Jimenez-Gonzalez, from the United States. A conviction for criminal recklessness, a Class C felony in Indiana, does not, by its nature, impose a substantial risk that the defendant may use physical force against a person or property, and does not require the sufficient mens rea to support removal. Because this crime does not qualify as a crime of violence under Section 16B of Title 18 of the United States Code, it would therefore not be an aggravated felony and cannot support removal of my client from the United States.
Don't you think shooting into a building and not knowing whether you're going to hit, not knowing whether there's somebody there or not, is substantially dangerous?
Under the criminal recklessness statute in Indiana, Your Honor, and using the categorical approach,
right,
that has been mandated by the unanimous Leocal Court in Justice Rehnquist's opinion, one must look at the minimum mens rea that could be used to violate that statute. It's an exercise of comparing the elements of the statute to Section 16 of the United States Code to determine whether or not it's a crime of violence. One need look no further, and in fact, based on the language of the statute, and I speak of Section 16, and based on the specific language and dictates of the unanimous Leocal Court, one goes no further than to look at the record of conviction. The record of conviction here is an abstract of judgment that shows a guilty plea for Class C felony criminal recklessness in Indiana. And an examination of that statute shows that one would violate that statute by recklessly creating a substantial risk of bodily injury to another person, by shooting a firearm into an inhabited dwelling or other building or a place where people are likely to gather. So for today's purposes, and for the purposes of deciding whether or not violation of that statute would be a crime of violence and therefore the subject of removal from this country, one need to look at what conduct would violate the statute. In other words, it's not an examination of my client's conduct in this specific circumstance. It's an examination of the elements of the statute, Indiana criminal recklessness statute, in comparison to Section 16 of the United States Code.
So what it would come down to is that there isn't a violation under this statute that would qualify.
That's right. But this statute can be violated by conduct that would not be considered a crime of violence.
Right.
Specifically, we talk here about Section 16B and not Section 16A. I believe the result would be the same under either, but 16A is not before the court this morning. 16B is.
Counsel, and suppose we had the plea agreement from the underlying state proceeding, and in that plea agreement the petitioner had admitted that he intentionally shot the firearm into the building. Would we have a different case?
We would have a different case. We certainly would, because that would be part of the record of conviction that could be used under the categorical approach.
So your point is that in this case, the record simply doesn't contain that documentation?
Well, that's exactly right. What the record does have is a probable cause affidavit, which is akin to a police report. Nothing in that was admitted to as part of a guilty plea. There were no findings of fact that those things were necessarily true. For example, there could have been problems with the photo array that was used to identify my client to have him arrested in the first place. He could have other constitutional defenses that were not raised.
So on this record, there's no admission by your client of any intent to shoot into the building?
That's exactly correct, Your Honor. That's precisely correct.
And that confines us then to the statute, is that right?
It does. It confines us to the statute and the record of conviction. And here we have the guilty plea and we have an abstract of judgment, which tells us what the statute is, Class C felony criminal recklessness in Indiana, and then we look at the statute in Indiana, which is included in the record at page 117, if I remember correctly, and we compare that with the language of 16B of Title 18 of the United States Code.
But the record has no more than just that, and as Judge Ripple was pointing out, that doesn't have the you know, in the confession or anything else that's, that would go beyond the categorical approach of the confession?
Not as part of the record of conviction. There are two other things that are in the record that are not properly subject to examination using the categorical approach. One would be the probable cause affidavit. In the probable cause affidavit, there is what is effectively uncross-examined testimony from a police officer where he says that there was a shooting, that there was a high-speed chase, that he found my client somewhere in the general vicinity of the vehicle, and he wasn't wet and it had been raining outside. None of that was subject to cross-examination. None of that was admitted to by my client. None of that is part of the record of conviction.
So all that's off limits as far as we're concerned?
Yes, sir.
Does he waive all that by pleading guilty?
I'm sorry, sir.
Does he waive all that by entering a guilty plea?
No, he does not, because his guilty plea did not include those factual findings. He pled guilty to Class C criminal recklessness, Class C felony criminal recklessness in Indiana. Nowhere in that plea did he say that he was in a vehicle that night. Nowhere in that plea did he say that anyone fired a gun.
I said, does he waive it by entering a guilty plea?
Not when the guilty plea does not include those specific factual findings. The guilty plea he waives, for example, saying that he acted recklessly. Of course he acted recklessly. He pled guilty to criminal recklessness. He waives any idea that there might have been a gun fired because he admits that he fired, that there was a gun that was shot. But to violate that statute in Indiana, one can fire a gun recklessly into a dwelling or into another building or to a place where people are likely to get it. Yes, sir. And so he doesn't, for example, by pleading guilty, he does not waive in any way his ability to say that he did anything beyond what the statute finds and what's in the record of his conviction.
Mr. Gale, there's a slight difference in language between 16B and the Armed Career Criminal Act.
Yes.
Does that slight change in language make any difference?
It does. I'm more familiar, when you say the Armed Career Criminal Act, I know that the Board of Immigration Appeals and also the government relies more on the sentencing guidelines.
I'm sorry,
than
the guidelines.
So under the sentencing guidelines, there is a very important distinction. The sentencing guidelines focus on the effect of the act. In other words, that it causes a serious potential risk of physical injury to another. Mm-hmm. That's different than 16B. 16B speaks instead, and I'm going to read from my notes to make sure I get my language correct, of a substantial risk that physical force against the person or property of another may be used in the course of committing the offense. So under 16B, we focus on the conduct itself, whereas under the sentencing guidelines, we focus on the potential risk of the effect of the conduct. I see that I'm into my rebuttal time. Unless there's another question from the panel now, I'll yield the podium.
Good morning. My name is Catherine McKinney, and I represent the respondent in this matter. Your Honors, this petition for review should be denied because the immigration judge and the board both correctly determined that the crime petitioner was convicted of is a crime of violence under 18 U.S.C. Section 16B and therefore an aggravated felony under INA Section 101A43F, and he's properly removable as an alien convicted of an aggravated felony under INA Section 237. The board in this case determined that the crime petitioner was convicted of, criminal recklessness committed by shooting a firearm into an inhabited dwelling or other place likely to be inhabited, is a crime of violence because one who shoots into such an inhabited dwelling or place likely to be occupied by individuals necessarily entails the risk that he will have to subsequently use force either against the property towards which the shots are fired or other potential lawful inhabitants of the building, potential witnesses, potential law enforcement officers who might respond. Additionally, the board found that this conduct necessarily entails a risk of escalating violence.
Is it then, though, a reckless act?
It is a reckless act, and recklessness is the minimum mens rea required under the statute, so that's what we look at. But that doesn't end the court's analysis. This court in Bazan Reyes and Leocal both left open the issue of whether or not a statute with the minimum mens rea of recklessness was sufficient to constitute a crime of violence under Section 16B. And in fact, the Supreme Court in Leocal specifically distinguishes crimes with a reckless disregard for a substantial risk of force subsequently being used than the crimes involved in those cases, which involved either no mens rea or mere negligence. And this case would appear to fall squarely within that language, because by recklessly committing a crime involving shooting a firearm into an inhabited building or a public place that involves the likely presence of the public in some way necessarily entails a disregard that subsequent force will be used. Petitioner argues that the board is ignoring the mens rea requirement in this case, which is clear that they did not, because they specifically mention the Supreme Court's decision in Leocal and the reckless disregard referred to by the Supreme Court in Leocal. They subsequently refer to one who recklessly shoots a firearm into an inhabited dwelling and the subsequent risk involved. Additionally, petitioner argues that the board incorrectly cited to Ledke and Newbern, which are cases in this circuit involving the sentencing guidelines, which, as petitioner's counsel notes, the language involved there is whether or not the conduct involves a risk of injury versus risk of force. But it's clear that the board in this case wasn't applying an incorrect standard or conflating the sentencing guideline cases with the 16B cases. It was merely mentioning them, but it's clear from the language of the opinion that they're speaking of the risk of force being used rather than the risk of injury, which would be involved in those cases. Additionally, as the Supreme Court notes in the Leocal decision, we can't forget that what we're ultimately construing is what is a crime of violence and what would the ordinary meaning of those terms entail. And this crime in particular, which can only be a Class C felony if committed with the use of a firearm and the likely presence of the public in some way, would come within the language of 16B as one that involves a substantial risk of force subsequently.
What, if any, relevance or does the Begay case have? Is it instructive at all in our analysis?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, Begay?
The Begay Supreme Court case?
I'm not sure, familiar with that, Your Honor. I'm not sure. Additionally, petitioner lists out several examples where it's possible to violate the statute without actually resulting in harm to another individual or without involving the use of force to another individual. And it's the respondent's contention that it's not really relevant whether it's possible to violate the statute without harming an individual or violate the statute without using force. What's relevant is whether or not it's possible to violate the Indiana statute without creating a substantial risk of force being used. Those other examples might be relevant to a 16A analysis of whether or not a statute could be violated without the use of force against another, but here we're dealing with 16B, which involves the substantial risk of force subsequently being used. Finally, Your Honor, as the board correctly notes, this case is closely analogous to the case of a burglar, which was the example that this court used in Bison and the Supreme Court used in Leocal, where upon entering the building, the burglar disregards the risk that he will be required to intentionally use force in the furtherance of the offense. And this is similar here because petitioner, while engaging in criminal recklessness involving the use of a firearm, he necessarily disregarded the risk that subsequent force would be used against property, witnesses, law enforcement, and others. Thank you.
Thank you, Counsel.
Where the Board of Immigration Appeals apparently went astray is when they looked at the language not of Section 16B, but of the sentencing guidelines. That caused the Board of Immigration Appeals, to apply the wrong standard. This idea of a substantial risk of escalating violence does not square with the standard of 16B. 16B requires a substantial risk of physical force against the person or property of another may be used in the course of committing the offense. So the examples in the Board of Immigration Appeals opinion of a burglary and how the burglary might, for example, require some, or let me back up a step. They garbled the example from the Leocal case of a burglary. In a burglary, there is a substantial likelihood that the burglar may apply physical force in the course of committing the offense. In this particular situation, in criminal recklessness in Indiana, the Board of Immigration Appeals said there might be escalating violence in the sense of the person who's being shot towards firing back. That would not be the perpetrator, that would not be force that may be used in the course of committing the offense.
In reference to Judge Ripple's question on Begay, how does that impact this?
Yeah, the Begay case basically said, as I understand it, that it's clear from the Leocal case that the Supreme Court does not view drunk driving offenses to be sufficient to be crimes of violence. It's important to note that since Leocal came down, five different courts of appeals around the country, 3rd, the 4th, the 6th, the 8th, and the 9th, have all held that recklessness is insufficient, and not all in drunk driving cases. The Third Circuit has two cases, the United States versus Trump. Let me look at the cases, make sure I get the cites right. Pardon me. Tran versus Gonzalez, which dealt with with a statute prohibiting reckless burning or exploding because they set a body on fire to cover up a murder. Also in the Third Circuit, Papel versus Gonzalez, which was a simple assault case. In the Ninth Circuit, United States versus Norbriga, which is a physical abuse of a family member. All of these relying on Leocal for the proposition that recklessness is not sufficient under 16B. None of them drunk driving cases. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We will take the case under advisement.